the Lord help us to commence this morning with hymn 1108. Breathe from the gentle south, O Lord, and cheer me from the north. Blow on the treasures of thy word, and call the spices forth. 1108.
From God's holy word, from Paul's epistle to the Colossians. Paul's epistle to the Colossians, and we will read chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with God in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. For which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. For this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service, as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. May the Lord help us now in prayer. O Lord, almighty and most gracious God, we do pray for thy mercy and help this day in coming before thee. O Lord, we do pray that we may be in the Spirit on thy day. O Lord, do grant us an increase of faith. O Lord, without faith it is impossible to please thee. O Lord, we do pray. O Lord, we do come unto thee, O Lord Jesus, like the disciples of old. Lord, increase our faith. Lord, help me. O Lord, we do pray, as we have read, that we should do all things heartily from the heart, with a singleness of eye. O Lord, we do pray, deliver us from the tempter, from the adversary, deliver us from our old nature. O Lord, deliver us from sin, we do pray, that sin which doth so easily beset us. So, O Lord, we do pray, help us. O Lord, without thee we can do nothing. But, O Lord, our hope is in thee. Thou indeed who hast done all things well. O Lord, do grant that our minds, our hearts, our souls are drawn out unto thee by thy love and thy grace and thy majesty and thy glory, to worship thee as we ought. O Lord, grant that help in speaking, that help in hearing. And O Lord, that great command unto thy servants is preach the word, preach Christ. And O Lord, we do pray, help me, do help thy servants wherever they are, to proclaim thy word. And, O Lord, that there may be that power of the Spirit attending the word, that it may be not so much the minister that is heard, but thy word that is heard, the word of power, the word of life, the word of salvation, that thou mightest speak unto our souls, as the psalmist says, say unto my soul, thou art my salvation. O Lord, we do pray that thy voice is heard in this day. O Lord, thou hast spoken. Indeed, we have read thy word. But, O Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Not just to hear the outward sound, but that we may receive it, to give heed unto thy word. O Lord, help us. O Lord, do like thou, O Lord Jesus Christ, did in thine earthly ministry. Thou didst touch the ears of the deaf, and they heard. Thou didst touch, anoint the eyes of the blind, and they did see. Thou didst speak, or lay thy hands upon those that were bowed down and could in no wise lift themselves up, or those that could not at all walk, but thou didst say, take up thy bed and walk. O Lord, do grant thy word may come with power into our hearts, our lives, this church and congregation, and wherever thy people are gathered together this day around thy holy word. O Lord, do grant thine appearing, for O Lord, how we do need it in our churches, in this land and our nation. O Lord, what a sad day that we are in when we look at things naturally, yet thou dost say, rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. We cannot rejoice in this earth and the sins of it and the depravity of it, the vanity of it, but O Lord, in thee shall we not rejoice. O Lord, thou set before us a better country, that is an heavenly, a city that hath foundations. And O Lord, we do pray, grant us that singleness of heart and mind, as pilgrims seeking a better country, that is an heavenly, for here have we no continuing city. Though we seek one to come. O Lord, we do pray, grant thy help. Only the outpouring of the Spirit, only the preaching of the gospel applied with power of the Spirit can do us any good in our nation. Only through prayer and supplication. O Lord, we do pray for thy help. O Lord, do appear for us. And O Lord, as we seek to bear witness of so great a salvation and to intercede in our nation. In thy precious name, O Lord, we pray, in mercy help us. But, O Lord, our current deep troubles in the land, our government bent upon step by step taking away our religious liberty, seeking to control that which is done even in the house of God. But, O Lord, thou art above them all. But, O Lord, do not our sins deserve thy judgments? O Lord, look in mercy, we beg. O Lord, we do thank thee that thou hast answered prayer even in the past week in overturning that iniquitous proposal, the further desecration of thy day. O Lord, how we see even those that are the ungodly and much opposed to the truth should be used of thee to defeat that measure in Parliament. And, O Lord, we do thank thee. And, O Lord, does it not give us that encouragement? Thy gracious hands encourage us to pray, to yet pray on that thou hast grant a reviving in our midst. And, O Lord, we do pray for thy servants that are labouring this day, that the word may come with power, there may be that deliverance out of darkness into light, that deliverance into the glorious light of the gospel of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, a deliverance out of trusting in the things of this world, to be brought to true repentance and sorrow after sin, and to seek thee and to find thee. O Lord, do grant a help unto those that are sick, unto those that are in trouble, to those that are in great perplexity, those that are overwhelmed. O Lord, do show them the rock that is higher than they, the glories of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. O Lord, do show forth by the Spirit thy grace and thy glory and thy love. Do grant that word of encouragement, that word of sustaining. Do be with thy servants, some in old age and affliction, weakness, some in great trouble and distress and sorrow, some with loved ones who are very sick, others in great depths. O Lord, we do pray that thou sustain them and help them. Be with thy one true church throughout this world, those that are in persecution, or in poverty or disease or amidst wars. O Lord, that thou would sustain them, that thou would sustain the orphans, the widows. O Lord, make a way for thy word to go forth yet more and more in this earth. There may be that light shining in darkness, the light of life. Do be with those that are imprisoned and persecuted for the testimony of Jesus. O Lord, it is a searching thought to consider the direction that our own country is heading, and how that we are on the verge of that persecution here. Indeed, there will not be persecution for us if we walk unfaithfully, if we compromise. But they that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And, O Lord, it is searching. How does search our hearts to try us? How shall we stand that day if called so to walk? O Lord, we do cry unto thee for thy help. O Lord, do keep us from this adversary. Do keep us from compromise. Keep us from compromising with the vanities of this world, with the ungodly principles of this day. O Lord, that we may stand fast in love and in truth, in the Spirit, not in the flesh. Standing in thy righteousness, not in our own supposed righteousness. But, O Lord, we do pray, help us to help our friends here, to help our friends, the deacons at the desk, in the choosing of the hymns. And, O Lord, we do pray for any that are unable to be here. O Lord, for whatever calling or situation that are unable to be here, or those caring for others who are sick. O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be with them to favour them. Look in mercy, those that are caring for the little ones, do be with the children and the young people to guide them and direct them, to favour them. O Lord, do be with them in their relationships. And those that are, be thy holy will later this year to be married, do be with them to bless them and to favour them together. And O Lord, we do pray, if there are those that could be here or elsewhere, but, O Lord, are not, that are not gathering around thy holy word, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst grant them a true desire to gather once more, and there may be a gathering together in the spirit, in the newness of life. O Lord, there thou hast promised the blessing. O Lord, we do pray then, help us now in this service and in this thy day, that all may be done to thine honour and glory. We ask in thy name, O Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hymn 1100. Let worldly minds the world pursue, it has no charms for me. Once I admired its trifles too, but grace has set me free. Hymn number 1100.
Thank you.
May the Lord help us in turning to his word. And I'd particularly direct you to the words at the end of Colossians 3 and verse 10. Sorry, verse 11. Colossians 3, verse 11. That Christ is all and in all. The latter part of Colossians 3 and verse 11. But Christ is all and in all. In verse 10, the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, speaks of putting on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. There are many distinctions in this earth, the Greeks or Gentiles and the Jews. Barbarians, those foreign nations, those in those days who had no learning of letters or education. Scythians, those eastern barbarous tribes. Bond, the slaves, or those who are free. That the poet, the hymn writer, so aptly put it, when is it that Christians all agree and let distinctions fall when nothing in themselves they see but Christ is all in all? In the sight of Almighty God, there is only, as it were, one distinction. It's whether we are in Christ or not. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So that is the only, there were a great distinction in the sight of Almighty God, whether we're in Christ or not. There are many distinctions, as it were, on this earth, of different nations, different languages, different callings, different abilities, different amounts of possessions, all manner of things. Well, the great question is, what think ye of Christ? When we come to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, when we come to pass from this time into eternity, do we know him whom to know is life eternal or not? Doesn't matter what else we know. Whether we know all things, have all knowledge, all earthly knowledge, but if we don't know Christ, if we do not know him, his glorious work of redemption, his love, if we have never come to repentance, to sorrow over our sins, to be truly grieved for those things that we have done against the holy law of God, if we have never come to repentance on account of the old man within, the natural man, which is so persistent, so vile, so depraved in sin, in rebellion. If we've never come to repentance and sorrow over these things, we are not, well, rather we're on the way to the road that leads to destruction, the broad way. And in that calling which the Lord has given me in the ministry. And it is the same for every minister of the everlasting gospel, to set forth such warnings. Ask that question. Have you the Son of God? Have you come to repentance, to sorrow over your sins? Well, how we do need the Lord to come. We read it as a gift of God. The Lord Jesus Christ was exalted for to give repentance, remission of sins. How we need faith. But to whom do we go for faith? To Jesus. The disciples came to Jesus and said, Lord, increase our faith. Truly a mark of that change from death unto life is to feel one's need of a Saviour. To feel one's need of faith. To feel one's need of repentance, indeed. And we must go unto the Lord. Lord, help me. Lord, grant me that increase of faith. Lord, grant me that true knowledge of who I really am by nature. Show me myself, and then show me thyself. But above all, may the Lord lead us each away from our affection being on things below, on this earth. All our heart and our life being wrapped up in it. All our cares are only in material things, in things for this time. As we read, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, or in the margin, the translators also put mind. Set your affection or mind on things above, not on things on the earth. Well, may the Lord grant that exaltation of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ in our affections, that we may be drawn unto him in love, to see his glory, to see his majesty, like those that we read of in the New Testament, that they came to Jesus, they fell at his feet, they pressed forward to him. In that true spirit, give me Christ or else I die. That they must come to Jesus. They wouldn't take any opposition or discouragement. They must come to Jesus. Like the man who was sick of the palsy, who was carried about in that bed by his four friends. And they brought him to Jesus, but the place was so filled with people they could not get near Jesus, but they must. Kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Not a carnal violence, as the manner of some is in the name of religion, but a spiritual urgency, a pressing. I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Would to God that that spirit was in our midst. And they carried the man onto the roof, and they broke up the roof and lowered him down to the feet of Jesus. There was the evidence of their faith. They must come to Jesus. Where there is true faith, Christ is all. The Christ is the one that we desire above all other. Christ is the one that we must come to for help. That without him we must surely die. Without his mercy, without his love, we must surely be cast into eternal hellfire. that our prayers we must ask in the name of Jesus. Well, the question is, do we pray? Do you pray? And what do you pray for? Are your prayers always set on things below or things above? Yes, the Lord knows that we have need of those things below, and we are called to bring all our care, our concerns, our needs before him. But it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. How can we say that Christ is our all if our prayers are always about earthly things? If there is no prayer concerning the blessing of our soul, the mercy of God, the deliverance from sin, the blessing upon the church of God. If all our prayers are concerning earthly things, worldly things, Christ is all. Is he all in your affection, your mind? Or have other things stolen away your affections? These things so often don't happen suddenly, but step by step, little by little. A little drifting away here, a little drifting away there. A little getting too involved in worldly things here, and a little getting drawn aside there. The church in one of the seven churches of Asia, who had forsaken their first love. It says Christ is all and in all, not Christ was all, but no longer. How sad that is. And we said of us that we had a burning love for Christ, but no longer. Forsaken our first love. How careful we must be. The Lord has called us to watch and pray, lest we fall into temptation. But Christ is all. And in all, may the Lord give us of his Spirit, that would be in the Spirit. When we read that in the book of Revelation, that the Apostle John was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Then he saw Christ. Christ in his glory and his majesty. Above all the things that... And truly there were griefs that the Apostle John was in. He was an old man. Many consider that he must have been aged about 90. That sort of age, an old man. Separated from his churches by persecution. Placed on the Isle of Patmos. A form of imprisonment. But Patmos is only mentioned in a few words. The rest is all about Christ. Only just mentions Patmos so that we may understand the circumstance and the place. But Patmos is lost. No more to be spoken of, for Christ has come. How wonderful it is when we're in a place of deep trouble and the Lord appears. And all those things, as it were, depart, and the Lord has come. And there is that peace which passeth all understanding. It may be that those situations, you're still there. John was still in Patmos, but in the Spirit, he was lifted above. Read in Revelation 4 that, behold, I looked and a door opened in heaven. There was a looking up, and the door opened in heaven. And we read he was immediately in the Spirit, and he was lifted above to see the glories of God, the throne of God, the majesty of God. And in our oft troubles and of varying degrees and nature, oh, that the Lord would grant us grace to look up, to look unto the Lord who rules in heaven. And it is true, those troubles that we come into, the Lord has brought us there for our instruction, for chastening. As our hearts have been too set on things below, we become careless, become cold, lukewarm like another church. The seven churches of Asia become lukewarm. That is sort of tepid, neither hot nor cold. That is a particular offence in the sight of Almighty God if we are lukewarm, indifferent, careless in matters of religion, the Word of God, as if it doesn't really matter. Other things have stolen away our affections. Perhaps we're still going through the outward form, still coming to the place of worship, still picking up a Bible, still uttering a few words of prayer. But other things are stealing away our affection. And the Lord brings us into trouble. And it's the Lord's chastening in love. And there in the midst of trouble, we are brought, led out, and it's the Lord's gracious work to lead us out from self or things below, to once more as our affections are upwards, to heaven, to the Lord. The Lord to help us, the Lord to grant us that deliverance, or to bring us perhaps in worldly hopes are dashed. Perhaps our health touched, no longer strong. Perhaps diagnosed with some serious illness, or a loved one likewise. Perhaps somebody, a loved one, is taken. And the Lord, in his mercy and grace, leads us to think on Christ, to set our affection on things above, to lead us above, to lead us to look up. For there we have a continuing city. Things here below, they come and they go, they fade away. They perhaps endure for a season and then no more. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. The love of God in Christ Jesus endureth forever. Our eternal hope endureth forever. For Christ is all and in all. It would be well if the trials and difficulties, which, well, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upwards, be well if we think on these things, meditate upon these things, consider our mind turns to that. A quote from the book of Job. There in Elihu, in reproving Job, and There we read of Elihu speaking of the Lord's work. Behold, God is mighty, and despiseth not any. He is mighty in strength and wisdom. He preserveth not the life of the wicked, but giveth right to the poor. He withdraweth not his eyes from the righteous, but with kings are they on the throne. Yea, he doth establish them forever, and they are exalted. And if they be bound in fetters, and holden in cords of affliction, then he showeth them their work, and their transgressions that they have exceeded. He openeth also their ear to discipline, and commandeth that they return from iniquity. If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity, and their years in pleasures. If they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. And we see in the word of the Lord that God is infinite, infinite in power, infinite in wisdom. As for God, his way is perfect. In all his dealings with us, we are in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. As for God, his way is perfect. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Christ is all and in all. But in all our pathway, our circumstances, God is above all. And there is not one thing that has come to pass by chance. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Oh, for that, so put on the new man, to look on these things with the eyes of faith rather than the eyes of flesh. To bow and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. To seek that we may hear and understand the voice of the Lord in these things, rather than to rise up in rebellion and challenge against Almighty God. Let us look at these words. Christ is all. There's a glory here. Christ, whose glory fills the skies. In the Epistle to the Colossians, there's a great theme here in the exalted nature and office of Christ, the glory of Christ. In chapter 1, we read concerning Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. By him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. He is above all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Fullness resides in Jesus, our head. There is a fullness. Christ is all. Indeed, true spiritual religion must give that honour and glory to God, to Christ Jesus, the Lord. We must be so careful that we give that honour and glory due unto God the Son, Jesus Christ. That we hold fast to the pure and holy scriptural doctrine of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. that none is exalted above him, or in the church, or ministry, anything here below, if there is that exalting of any, even alongside Christ, where he ministered, denomination, whether minister present, minister past, whoever it may be, the word of God is that in all things he is Christ. In all things he, Christ, might have the preeminence to be all and in all. Indeed, every blessing, every truly good thing flows to us through Christ, through his sacrifice upon the cross, through his resurrection and ascension, through his intercession at the right hand of the Father. Oh, that the Lord would give us that increase of faith. It be your prayerful concern to know it more and more, that every good thing flows through Christ. And to see more and more his exaltation and glory and power and majesty. It is a feature of every heresy that there is a seeking by the heretics to diminish the honour and glory of Christ. You can trace that every time. In the Church of Rome, there's a exalting of the Church, exalting of the Pope, exalting of apostolic succession, the priest. And Christ being reduced to some image, or being reduced to a piece of bread that is eaten at the Mass. The Church, supposedly, according to the Church of Rome, being the one ark of salvation for all. And that's official doctrine of that church. Well, there is one ark of salvation for all, and it's not the church, it's Christ. The church is to bear witness, to bear testimony of so great a salvation. Jehovah's Witnesses make Christ something less than truly God. Others created angel. Some even that he was only a man. Just an example we should follow. All manner of errors, heresies, diminishing the... Or they can't really, but seeking to diminish the honour and glory due unto Christ. It should be our true heartfelt spiritual desire as believers, as an assembly of believers. That's what the word in the original that we translate uses the word church. It's an assembly, a gathering together of the true believers, the church. The church isn't really the building. It's the assembly, the gathering together of the true believers. And that honour and that glory should be given unto to our head, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he is so glorious, so great. We read of this in Colossians. By him were all things created that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Read in John's Gospel, in the beginning, concerning the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And without him, that is, without the Word, was not anything made that was made. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The glories of the eternal Word, which is Christ. The unimaginable power of the of the creation by the word, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And with the study of the stars and the galaxies. And what an immensity there is. And there are many stars in the night sky that we can see with our eyes. Far, far more when a telescope is put. Even the most greatest of telescopes, most advanced of them, that even more and more can be seen. Innumerable stars, innumerable as the sand. Well, a friend was talking about this last night, much to summarise that Abraham didn't need a telescope to know that truth, because it came from the word of God. But yet modern telescopes keep on proving it time and time again. Abraham was beholden to look up and tell or count the stars if he could. Well, how great the Lord is. I've had a special sense of it on several occasions when I've been preaching abroad and preaching in the open air at night time. And one look up, one is preaching and see the stars. And a special sense of the Lord's presence, the Lord's greatness, the Lord's majesty, the Lord's care, the Lord's mercy. Especially as on those occasions I was in particular difficulty, particular trouble, particular need, feeling my own particular insufficiency or complete lack of resources, just materially for the things that were before me, many thousands of miles away from home, perhaps feeling unwell as well, and called to preach, and then gathering beneath the sky. Been said about such places that the vault of heaven is a far more glorious one than any cathedral or college chapel or whatever that is made by man. Even the most glorious of buildings cannot compare to that which the Lord has spread out in the heavens above. And I felt the beauty of that which the Lord spake unto Abraham many thousands of years ago, and in looking up and to see the stars in a dark sky, see the stars in a dark place, and to see the promise of Christ, to see the promise of prayer answered, to see the promise of the Lord's help. Now, when we look at these things by faith, and look at them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Spirit, there as we see the immensity and the power of God displayed in his works, his creation. What a comfort and encouragement it is. That's what a reproof it is to us. Though we've been doubting, however can we be delivered out of this situation? However can we be sustained? However can we go on? But we've been looking down and not looking up. I felt that when I've been on the East Coast on holiday in North Norfolk, last two years running, and matters in very, very considerable troubles. And the Lord knows that we have need of a rest and to take a holiday. But one thing, if we're on holiday and we've got some deep troubles that we're in, we can't take a holiday from our troubles. As it were, they come along with our bags and our cases, and they still are there with us. But seeking some time to, on my own, just to read the Bible and meditate, and looking out to sea, and it was quite rough and stormy, but then I saw the immensity of the seas. The immensity of looking out to sea, and the vast quantity, the power of the sea, the volume of it, the immensity. And then consider who created it. And just by his word, And cannot the Lord appear for me? Shall not I pray unto the Lord for mercy for my unbelief, and to pray unto him in the name of Jesus for help in time of need? For such is the immensity of his power. And I can testify the Lord has appeared. The Lord has answered prayer. The Lord has displayed himself so infinitely gracious and merciful. Despite one's own failings and sins. But the Lord Jesus Christ, that way to heaven, that one mediator between God and man, as faith views the immensity of God, the immensity of his power, the immensity of his majesty, his righteousness, his holiness, but by faith lays hold upon that one way, which is Christ. Like Jacob, when he was at Bethel, and that word means the house of God. I remember preaching from that one time in the open air, one of those occasions. I felt that had to be my text. I felt much liberty in speaking on it. And there Jacob, given that vision, he didn't deserve it. It was a sovereign grace of God that his, as it were, his spiritual eyes were open to see Christ, that ladder that stretched all the way from earth to heaven. There was only one ladder there, that by which the angels ascended and descended, by which the blessings of God come down from heaven to earth, by which our prayers, our requests, our supplications rise up to God. There's only one way. Christ is all. There's no other way. It's all through his work of redemption, through his righteousness, through his sacrifice upon the cross, through his intercession at the right hand of the Father. Christ is all. All our salvation. And when we see by God's grace that glory, the glory of his, of the only begotten Son, full of grace and truth, it humbles us. Humbles us to see even more how he is all. Even more than we understood before, that he is all. So how infinitely great. How great is his forbearance with us. How great is long-suffering with us. How great is mercy upon us. How great is goodness. His goodness, oh, how great. Now we are drawn more and more by the cords of love. Drawn more and more to see he is our all and in all. Well, this is the way that we should prayerfully seek to walk in, that Christ is our all. That we should seek him above all things. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Things of this earth, the things here below, they're vain. They pass away. They're of no lasting value. But compare that to the preciousness of Christ, the preciousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We read in Colossians 2, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. He's the head of all principality and power. There's a completeness. Christ is all. Think of this in respect of our salvation. We need a complete salvation. We don't just need one or two sins washed away. There are some people who'd like some sins forgiven and the rest that they can carry on indulging in. Have some twinges of conscience about some things. But as regards the rest, happy to carry on. As it were, prepared to give God the glory in one thing, but I'd rather give the devil the glory in the rest. Just to serve the flesh, to serve the things of this world, is in reality to serve the devil. We have to be brought away from that double heart. With that singleness of heart. As the poet said, a broken, not divided heart. To be sorrowful over sin rather than one that's divided. Seeking to serve God and mammon. Mammon, that word means ungodly, unrighteous riches of this earth. Trying to serve Christ and the devil. Trying to serve God one day and Satan the next. Trying to put on the new man today and the flesh tomorrow. He cannot serve God and mammon. Christ, but is Christ all? We're desiring, praying that the Lord would grant that. Christ is all and in all. Well, Christ in all. There's verses I'll just read in respect of that. But in all, Christ in all. Christ in you, the hope of glory we have in Colossians 1 and verse 27. He might make, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. A glorious mystery now revealed in the gospel. Christ, the eternal Son of God who took human nature, coming to this sin-cursed earth, dying, rising again, glorified in heaven and the sending forth of the Spirit. Our New Testament days, where Christ dwells in the hearts of every true believer by faith, by the Spirit. And we read in Ephesians 3 and verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Unspeakable mercy and glory that the Creator of heaven and earth should dwell by the Spirit in the hearts of sinners for whom he died, sinners for whom he shed his blood. That he who is the very Creator of heaven and earth should take into union with his divine nature, a sacred humanity, and suffer, and die, be put to shame. What wonders of love, what wonders of mercy, that Christ, who is all, should be in all. We're not meaning here by every single person who's ever lived. There's again, another God-dishonouring doctrine around that would say there's a bit of God in everyone. Well, we read in Romans chapter 8, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That we are utterly ruined in sin, utterly fallen. But those for whom the Lord died, a number that no man can number, out of every kindred, tribe, nation and tongue, whether Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarians, Scythians, wherever they're from, whether they're bondmen, slaves, servants, free men, whoever, kings, beggars, for those for whom Christ has died. There is this, but Christ is all and in all. To each of them, Christ is their all. And the Lord dwells in each by the Spirit. Christ is in with us. What unspeakable comfort that is. We can be in the most troubling of situations, or even feel most alone, yet we're not alone. The Lord is near. Christ is all and in all. Finally, briefly, so put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels and mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. Well, if we're all one in Christ, how is it that so often judging one another, spirit of partiality, grudging one against another, remembering of things years gone by, perhaps. Seem to forget the Lord's goodness, but we can't forget what somebody else has done against us. That's being in the flesh, not in the Spirit. Oh, that we were more taken up with the glory and mercy of Christ. And as it were, see that in one another, a true spirit of humbleness of mind and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. But if there is that spirit of judging, that spirit of superiority one over another, that looking only at outward appearances, we're forgetting our text here, but Christ is all and in all. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Where there's many of us, I believe, known a quite remarkable union of spirit with brethren in Christ. Those who are perhaps from totally different background, different nation, even different languages. And some of the places I've been to feel a real union of spirit with somebody who we can't even share the same language. But the word Jesus, we both know, we can understand when each of us says the word Jesus. There's a love and the union that's felt and known. You can feel it, know it. It's a brother or sister in Christ. Or perhaps from totally different backgrounds or whatever, but there's a union. A union, a communion in Christ Jesus. Christ is all and in all. Indeed, that is often a terror to the ungodly. Often been a terror to those ungodly rulers who see a power there that they don't understand, that they hate. Something that these Christians, they will not bow down to the ungodly principles. Saw that in communist countries. We're seeing it coming very quickly in our own country. Even though they hate the name of Christ, yet they see there's a power. something that is disturbing to their ungodly mind, something that condemns them. They seek to blot it out, to wipe it out if they could. But the Lord is all sufficient for his people, will uphold them all, in all things, in all trials, in all things, bring them through it all. The Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all righteousness. He said that before he gave up the ghost, he said, "It is finished. It is all completed. All righteousness is wrought. All sins are washed away. All sins of his beloved church washed away in his precious blood." And there is not one circumstance that shall lead to any of those for whom he laid down his life, lead to them being lost. That we're safe in him. He will gather all for whom he shed his precious blood, at last to be with him in glory, whatever devils, men or devils should attempt to do. And in heaven itself, Christ will be all the glory in Emmanuel's land. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day amounted to £755, and the collection taken yesterday at the FGA meeting amounted to £1,129, for which we are very truly thankful. And God willing, Dr. Sadler will address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Pont is engaged to preach on Wednesday evening, and there will be a prayer meeting for church members on Friday evening, and a prayer meeting for the nation on next Lord's Day at 9 o'clock, and then Mr. Jonathan Buss is expected to preach and will also hope to administer the Lord's Supper. Let us close with hymn 720. Endless blessings on the Lamb, broken hearts repeat the same. His dear heart was broken too when he bore the curse for you. 720.
Thank you.
now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.